Today is the last sermon of the 10 sermon series on Jesus' why questions. And so far, I preached 9 sermons, all beginning with Jesus' question, why, right? And all of them have one thing in common. That is that his questions, all 9 questions, were addressed to people around him at the time, either to his own disciples or to Pharisees and scribes. In today's text, however, you see Jesus raising the question of, why have you forsaken me? That question was directed not to humans, but to God in heaven, to his own loving Father, to his heavenly Father, who was always with him without any single day missing, okay? He was always like together like that with his heavenly Father. So keep that in mind, because I'm going to come back to that, the relationship between God and Jesus and the loving Father and the loving Son. Have you ever felt that God has forsaken you? Even after the first service, someone came to me and says, Pastor Choi, that's what I always felt. God has forsaken me. Have you even cried out to God as Jesus did, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you have done it, you are not alone. Many people, believers and sometimes non-believers, have done so. As I was preparing my sermon this past week, it made me wonder, what's the reason behind why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I came to the conclusion that not because Jesus was disappointed with God. In fact, he was never, ever disappointed with God. Neither did he doubt God's ability to rescue him from his troubles. If you remember the night when Jesus was arrested, Peter, trying to protect his master with a sword, he attacked one of the high priest's servant and cut the ear. Remember that story? And at the time, Jesus stopped Peter and saying, Peter, don't you know that I could order and my heavenly Father could send legions of angels to protect me? In other words, it wasn't the problem that God was not able to rescue him, his son, from the trouble. If you and I know the circumstance where Jesus was in, I believe we would understand better why Jesus said such a sentence. Let me take you to the place where these words were spoken. Where was he when he cried out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was hanging on the cross, wasn't he? He was actually dying. In fact, he was dying slowly for almost 6 hours, folks, in excruciating pain. Now, the English word excruciating has a very interesting origin. It's a combination of 2 words. X, E-X, is from the Greek word, literally meaning come out of or from. Cruciating goes all the way to the origin of cross. So when someone says, I have excruciating pain, only those folks understand who are crucified. The pain that comes when you are crucified. So he was painfully dying and losing every drop of his blood through the nail punctures, both on his hands and on his feet. Now, let's put ourselves in his shoes for a moment. The night before he was crucified, emotionally, Jesus had gone through the fleeting loyalty of his disciples. 12 of them, every one of them had sworn to God to protect their master from any harm. None of them, however, kept their promises. We all remember well, Judas, the man who sold his master, right? He was coming from the town named Iscariot. That's why we call him Judas Iscariot. He betrayed his master with a kiss, remember? For 30 silver coins. What about Peter? Didn't he to declare to Jesus that he would rather die than deny his master? Yet, in one night, for several, hours, he denied Jesus 3 times. The last time he put himself under curse. In those days, they didn't use the Bible to put their hands and I swear, whatever it is. They didn't do that. However, to settle the matter once and for all, at the end they said, if I'm not telling you the truth, let God curse me. They put themselves under curse of God. That's what exactly Peter did. When someone asked, you are part of Jesus, gang, and Peter says, nope, I'm telling you the truth, I don't know him, and I don't know what you're talking about, by putting myself under curse. That's what he did. What about the rest of the 10 disciples? Do you think they were any better? Not really. When Jesus needed them the most, all of them fled from Jesus, abandoned their master. I guess so much of loyalty and promise from his own disciples. Well, then things get worse. After Jesus was arrested, he was handed over to the Roman soldiers, who made a crown of thorns and put it on his head. You could imagine the forehead start bleeding. And they mocked and spat on him and whipped him. That was just the beginning of his suffering and humiliation. More mockery and insult were on the way. And they climaxed when Christ was hanging on the cross. This is what happened. The religious leaders, as we read this morning, and bystanders came by and hurled insults at Jesus and saying, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. No end of cruelty, insults, and disappointments from humans. Yet, let me tell you, that was not the reason why Jesus cried out to God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sure, he was disappointed enough with those humans and their cruel behavior, and also with all the insults that were heaped upon him in a matter of a few hours. Yet, as the scripture points out, he already knew all men and what humans were like in nature. So, the Bible says, Jesus never relied on them. After all, what do you think Jesus was doing on the cross? At that very hour, he was dying on behalf of such sinners, wasn't he? So, it wasn't the abandonment or betrayal of his disciples that made Jesus cry. It was not the mock and, just insult of bystanders and the religious leaders that made him cry. It wasn't. So to find out the true reason for Jesus' outcry, we need to bring God and his attributes in to the picture. I'm talking about the same God who is the loving Father of Jesus. I'm talking about the same God who had chosen Jesus before the creation of the world for his purpose and will, which was redemption of humanity. I'm talking about the same God who loved the world so much so that he sent his only begotten Son to save humanity from their sin. The same God who dearly loved Jesus and who said to Jesus, you're my beloved Son, I am well pleased with you. I'm talking about the same God who was always with Jesus in power for 30 plus years from day one. Every single day he was with his Son. He never abandoned Jesus, not even one single moment. Let me tell you this. The night before Christ was crucified, he was praying to the same God in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times, scripture says, Jesus asked his Father if the cup of the cross could be taken away from him. Jesus got the answer, though. In no uncertain terms, what was the answer he got from his father? Stay the course. No change of plan. Go to the cross and carry out the salvation plan through your own death. So, the following morning, Jesus obeyed God's command. He took the sin of the world to the cross, bearing it on his shoulders. Through his death, he paid the wages of sin and saved humanity from sin. And between God and us, peace was restored, and at the cross, Jesus the sinless was made sin for us, the sinners. At the cross, he became a curse on our behalf, the scripture says. At the cross, he was no longer sinless. At the cross, he was separated from God and forsaken by God. That's the only time. That's why he cried out, my God, what happened? Why have you forsaken me? Let me elaborate a little more of what I just said. Remember this, during those 6 hours at the cross, something happened between the Holy God and Jesus, the Holy Son, who were one. Because sin came in between the two, and when the sin of the entire world came in between Jesus and the Holy God, in whose presence nothing unholy or impure is allowed, a total and complete separation was created between the Father and the Son. Jesus never experienced that one before. So such a loneliest and darkest moment caused by the total separation from Holy God made Christ cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? At the cross, God turned his face away, not from his only begotten Son, but from sin. At the cross, Jesus paid the wages of our sins once and for all. And at the cross, our sins are forgiven by the sacrifice of God's Son. And at the cross, the salvation work is completed. And at the cross, everyone is saved who looks up to Jesus and calls on his name. And at the cross, we gain the access to God's throne room. If you read today's scripture, it says the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, folks. What was the veil about anyway? The veil separated between the rest of the holy temple and the Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies, only the high priest was allowed to go once a year with the blood. And nobody was ever allowed. And that veil, when Christ died on the cross, was open wide. What does it tell you? At the cross, we gain the access to God's Holy of Holies. And at the cross, as the Roman centurion says, we find that Jesus, the true Son of God. You know, once again, in the darkest moment of his life, Jesus cried out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet deep in his heart, he never doubted God's unfailing love. He knew that God has never forsaken him either. You see, from time to time, you and I, we too cry out to God, my God, what happened? Have you forsaken me? And we also need to know deep in our hearts that God never abandons us. It's just a human thing that we sometimes forget God's presence with us. So even though our loving God graciously permits you and me to let out our frustrations from time to time, let us never do so in unbelief or despair or even defiance. Rather, let's do it. If you have to, in humility and in trust, hope, and praise. So my question for all of you this morning, are you in the darkest moment of your life right now? Then, cry out to the Lord as Jesus did and as David did. My God, why have you forsaken me? Yet do not stop right there. Rather, move on with your undying trust in the Lord. Keep on praying and offer your praise for God's faithfulness. Remember, the same Jesus resurrected 3 days later. The sin cannot keep him forever. There is a victory. Let's bow our heads and pray. There are many things, Lord, that block our eyesight. Many things that blur our understanding of who you are. Only once in his entire life, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It has nothing to do with God's faithfulness. And only it has something and everything to do with sin that Jesus carried all the way to the cross. That very moment, Christ was separated from God because of sin. Help us realize how grave the result, the consequence of our sin. It's not that we do the little thing here and the little thing there and God will overlook and all this thing. No. If we realize how grave the consequences of our sin is, and then we realize how gracious Christ has been to us, and how grateful we will be because our sins are taken care of, paid off by Christ. Oh, amazing grace it is, Lord. So Lord, thank you so very much. Whenever we go through our dark moments, help us never forget what Christ has said. He came out strong, overcoming the death and the sin. And he came out strong, resurrected. That's what God wants. And that's what God has stored up for every single one of us. Sin is overcome, paid off, and resurrection and victory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.